Happy Valentine's Day from Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis. Good morning, good night, wherever you might be right now. We are having an amazing guest coming up as we continue discussing what allegedly happened at Montauk Air Force Base. Preston B. Nichols is on the way to tell us how he thought he was portrayed in our last guest film, Montauk Chronicles. And we're also going to ask him what he's been doing as well lately, because he's got a whole bunch of fascinating things he's doing as well. If you want to know more information yourself, always go to coasttocoastam.com, and you're going to find some nice little links that you can bounce around on and learn more, too. So we've got more on time travel, mind control, ETs, abduction of young boys, torture, murder, manifestation from the mind to real life, all of this rolled up to one. Whew. Preston Nichols next here on Coast to Coast AM. Don't go away. Connie Willis on Coast to Coast AM on Valentine's night, talking with Preston Nichols, learning about what happened at Montauk Air Force Base years ago. Preston was former program director of the alleged Camp Hero experiments. He claims to be a main participant in the secret government program, lasting for over 13 years. Preston claims there were a variety of brutal and deadly experiments that include mind control and time travel, reverse engineering of ET technology, and I also know he's a genius. So, Preston, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Connie, for the kind words. By the way, your opening song, Street Fighting Man, was recorded at Caswell's Pavilion at Montauk Point.
Wow, we've already started out right. This is a good thing.
I know that because I engineered that recording.
And you've done a ton of engineering. Can you tell us your background so I won't miss a thing, because I know you have a lot of education?
Well, I started out studying psychology at Stony Brook University on Long Island. But I found out that that was the biggest bunch of horse dung I ever heard. I then went to a local community college, took a technician's degree. Then the company sent me to Brooklyn Polytech, and I finished up at the University of Tampa for my BSEE. Then the company sent me to Hofstra University, which I actually ended up with a master's degree in electrophysics from NYU. Then I took a leave of absence and went into the National Lab System and got a PhD from United Universities, which is the group that runs the lab system, which is an educational setup anyway, to get my PhD in quantum electrodynamics, which, if you don't know what that is, that's basically quantum electronics, where we study what happens to the photon and the electron when it jumps between different parallel realities. I'm also a radio amateur, call letters AC2DK, which is an extra class call, which is the highest the FCC will issue. I've been, doing work in the military electronics industry for years, and I've also been involved in broadcast engineering. I built radio station B103 at WBZO on Long Island. And I've also built WBPM up here in Saugerties and Kingston. And I've attempted to put WCKL back on the air, but those people don't have enough money to even get the transmitter working right.
Well, welcome to radio.
Sorry. Welcome to radio. I know what an old man Optimod is. The transmitter is a Gates BC1T that I've been rebuilding for WCKO. Of course, the other transmitters in my other stations I built right from scratch.
See, this incredible background that you have, and it's a love that you have for it,
yep,
has taken you and it has given you some incredible adventures. And, of course, one of them is Montauk, and I'm hoping you... Right, and I'm hoping that you got to hear Christopher talking last hour about Montauk Chronicles.
I've seen the movie. I know Christopher. I just leave it in that. Here, I do not have an operating AM radio.
With all that equipment.
Although I have over 200 communications receivers in my collection, I don't have one with the AM broadcast band that's working.
It's all a matter of priorities. So tell me, though, because I know you've seen the movie, how do you feel that you were portrayed in Montauk Chronicles?
Well, except for some of the license Chris had to take because he couldn't get the actual setup or the actual staging to do it, I think he did a very good job on it. Very, very good job. You know, like the radar transmitter looked more like a computer board to me. You know, Chris, I got a laugh out of that.
Do you think he portrayed the stories correctly?
Pretty much. He mainly covered the Montauk boys and shutting down the project.
Mm-hmm.
And that he did fine on. He did a very good job on that. The man is a talented, gifted filmmaker.
Do you believe he's a Montauk boy?
I don't know. It's possible.
Because I know you're able to tell that. I know that people come to see you, right?
Oh, there. I feel them out with my psi ability to see if they have what we call the signature of the Montauk Project within them, on them, however you want to say it. And there aren't many of those people that would be Chris's age out there. Although it's known today as Monarch Project, it's still going on.
Right, I've heard of the Monarch Project. Well, can you just tell everybody what the Montauk Project was? And well, your part in it?
Okay, it started life out of Brookhaven National Lab, where the stealth technology, the electromagnetic bottle technology, was developed. And it was noticed that that technology does affect the mind of man, and the project was launched to study how you can influence what people are thinking with it and what people are doing. Basically, what it was a mind amplifier. It had an input system known as a Montauk chair that a person adept would sit in, go into a trance, generate the thoughts. The thoughts would be picked out of the person, processed through a computer, and then pulse modulated on a very powerful UHF carrier, typically around 435 megahertz, and sent out there into the environment. Of course, 435 is one of the resonant modes of water, which, of course, we're all made up mostly of water. What they say on Star Trek, ugly bags of water?
This is true.
And my part, I wasn't a project director. That's an error that somebody got out there. I was like a chief engineer out there.
Yeah, I thought you were like the head guy, yes.
I was the chief engineer. I didn't direct the whole project.
Right, right.
I was a man by the name of Jack Pruitt, and other people who don't want to be named were, you know, was involved in directing it too.
I've always heard Jack Pruitt's name, but I've never seen him talk about any. Have I just missed that, or is he just staying out of sight?
I'm not sure he is still alive. His son is alive yet.
Oh, okay.
Vince and I, Peter Moon, have talked with his son on years ago on many occasions. And his son, I can't think of his first name at this point, but his son pretty much verifies that his father was out of Montauk and was involved in some very strange scientific project.
How do you get more strange than what you're talking about with time travel and reverse engineering with ETs and all the things that are a part of Montauk? It's amazing all the stuff that happened there. And you helped build the technology. and kept it going.
And was also my part of the Monarch Montauk Boys, that once the kids were programmed to put them back together psychologically.
So the kids were brought in there, broken down, and then did their missions, and then at one point you had to put them back together again?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were brought in. They were basically beaten to the edge of their life, a mind shattered, each piece programmed for something else. And then my part of it was to put it all back together again and make the kid appear normal.
How do you put someone back together again?
It's done basically by using sexual psychic energy. I remember in human beings, we have a unusual type of energy, which Dr. Wilhelm Reich called orgone, which is electric light, but it's really not, you know, it's really not electricity. If you'd like later on, we can go into what that's all about.
Okay. Well, what is the sexual part about?
Oh, you want to talk of that now?
Well, hey, it's Valentine's, right? Well, you're saying how to put someone together. It has to do with that. So, yeah, go ahead.
Well, it all started about 50 years ago when I was an older teenager. One of my good friends in East Islip says, "Hey, I want to show you something." I said, "Fine." And he says, "Well, I know you're not a homo. I'm not a homo." But he basically strips himself, lays him down in bed, gets an erection, and basically stimulates himself into an orgasm, you know, ejaculative orgasm. As he's reaching this, the head starts to glow on his penis. It forms a glowing orb, sort of like a bluish-violet color that drifted off and just floated around the room. Of course, my reaction is, "What is this?" I touched it, you know, the orb. It exploded and got a very slight electric shock. Since that, I've been trying to figure out what that is. And when you use the sexual orgasmic function, it takes the conscious mind, and runs it right down to the bottom of the physical mind, you know, the brain-oriented mind. And it gives you a path to go directly to the entrance to the soul, or the non-physical mind, so to speak. Now, when they program people, they like what, when you're growing up, anything that you consider the least traumatic gets buried very deep in your mind, in your physical mind, very deep behind. And this forms like a wall of, you know, problems that you don't want to face. This is the perfect place to hide programming and to put hidden things in people's mind.
Is this what they did there at Montauk?
Well, yes.
So, you know, when you asked me you want to go there, I didn't really realize where we were going, but you definitely took me there, and this may be my last night on Coast to Coast, everybody. Thank you very much. Wow. Okay. So
I warned you about it.
Yeah, I didn't know where we were going.
What we're doing at this point is we're keeping it clinical.
Absolutely.
There's nothing smutty or nothing pornographic meant about this.
I appreciate that. And well, so that means that these kids not only were abused and tortured, but they were basically raped as well.
Yeah.
All in order to get a program inside of them. What were the programs that they would, what were they? What programs?
Most of them seemed to be some sort of a space soldier, some sort of a super soldier.
That's what I've heard a lot. I've met a lot of people that claim to be super soldiers. Most of them are guys. I have met one girl.
That's more than I've met.
Really? That's it's interesting.
I haven't met any girls.
Yeah, there was one girl claimed to be one. So, you know, I don't know, but
Well, the story here is that basically you can use your life energy to gain access deep within your mind and then clear it out. Clear out all the garbage.
or and put in more as well, correct?
Well, years ago, 97, I was working with a bunch of guys on Long Island and got
Is
the
this another one
idea.
of those
What the?
stories? Am I going to be okay here on the story?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry, I should have warned you more about
I'm blushing over here. Okay, now go ahead. You're good.
it. The concern I came up with is the procedures that I'm using. Am I clearing programs out of these fellas and then putting more in? So I shut that whole thing down for a while and with two volunteers worked to put programs in. And what I came up with, the energy level gets so high, you'd have to go above that energy to put something in. So I came to the conclusion that it was basically used, and I could use those procedures, you know, the Wilhelm Reich procedures for removing it, removing the crud. And I hope you don't lose your job.
Yeah, same here, same here. Have you well, it'll be known all over the world why for sure. Do you know have you been able to help put these guys back together in a full fashion? Have they led normal lives or still pretty tough?
Yeah, most of them have, a lot of them have led normal lives.
Is there when we see the technology of like in the Men in Black shows where they have a device that makes you forget everything. Was this something that was used as well to block out their memories?
No, it wasn't.
No.
You wanted to have the memories continuous from before the programming till after the programming. So they'd have a continuous memory line. They wouldn't notice missing time, for instance. Although they definitely had missing time.
Right. So the things that happened during the missing time, it was blocked out.
Yeah, that was blocked out.
Yeah, how'd they do that?
That was done by basically removing the consciousness, shutting it down for a bit.
How do you do that?
That was done with some sort of electroshock computer setup, which I
Were you?
never got involved with
Oh, okay.
because I refused to.
So you did have a choice in some areas, and some areas you did not have a choice.
Right.
So what was your main job?
In respect to what?
With the boys.
To basically bring the mind back together again so it appeared normal.
Can you talk about the chair and did you have anything to do with that?
Yeah, I was involved in that design.
That's pretty cool. But you know what? We're going to have to come back. We've got to take a break. And I want to ask you about the chair because the chair, wow, that's interesting technology for sure. We're talking with Preston B. Nichols. He was part of the Montauk Project. We're hearing some interesting things that I didn't know we were going to hear about. And he's a wonderful guy, genius. We're going to hear more about what happened at Montauk and the different technologies that Preston was a part of. And we're also going to talk about his life now, too. So stick around with us here. Connie Willis, happy Valentine's Day with you from Coast to Coast AM. Coast to Coast AM, people are strange, but I don't think you forget those people's names. I have to go against that song at that point only because I think they remember you more than ever, and usually they want to run. Most of you out there understand that as well because we're all in this together. Connie Willis here. We are talking with Preston B. Nichols about the Montauk Project, as well as a lot of the technology that he was a part of. And even after that, we're going to hit on some of those things, too. If you ever want to know more about him or anybody else that we talk to here on Coast to Coast AM, then go to coasttocoastam.com. You can find all of our archives. And as you just heard, too, Coast Insiders, if you'd like to go ahead and sign up for that, you can get all the past stuff. If you happen to fall asleep on tonight's show while we're talking here, because, hey, Valentine's night, maybe you've got some things going on. That's okay, especially if you're a Coast Insider, because you can listen to it tomorrow. So more to come with Preston B. Nichols. Happy Valentine's from Coast to Coast AM. Happy Valentine's Day, or what's left of it. Thank you for tuning in to another fascinating show here on Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis. We are live from Louisville, Kentucky in the 840 WHAS studios. 7 degrees outside, another iHeartMedia studio that we're coming to you from. Preston Nichols is who we're talking to tonight. He's telling us what he dealt with as he worked at Montauk in a secret project. And Preston, before we left, you were about to talk about the famous chair at Montauk. Can you tell me what that was, what it did, and your part of the chair?
Well, that was like a lounge chair that was in almost like an isolation booth. It had inside the chair biological sensors that would read out just about everything you could think of. And then surrounding the chair was a group of antennas that went to some very specially designed receivers, which reportedly traced back to the days of Nikola Tesla when he was with RCA.
And Tesla is one cool dude.
And what it basically does is it picks out almost like white noise that your nervous system transmits in the HF region. And it goes to a computer system which decodes it in the thoughts.
That's
what it does in a nutshell.
How did you come up with that technology?
Me? No.
How do we do that?
Well, as you yourself said, Tesla was quite an unusual dude.
Yeah, that's for sure. Do you know how
he understood stuff about electromagnetics and magnetics we don't understand even today?
Mm. So
that's what happened. He went to work for American Marconi Corporation. Mm-hmm. He designed these regenerative receivers for Marconi to pick up overseas transmissions. And then when the government seized all the foreign assets, that became RCA. And he was passed on to the RCA group. The thing was, he was known as Nikola Turbo. RCA did not want to be associated with the Tesla name at that point, because he was going into controversial, strange stuff at that point.
I see. Well, when you worked on the chair, did you pick up any, did you try to figure out how it works so that you could do it later yourself or anything like that? Would you be able to replicate it now?
Oh, yeah, I could replicate it.
You could? Okay. Well, that's pretty neat.
That's because since Montauk Project, I've acquired the same receivers that RCA had that became of use.
Okay, so you sit in Montauk. So you sit in the chair and you can think something, and the computer will show what your thought is.
Yeah, right.
And you can do that now.
A thought form matrix, it was called, which could be used if you could amplify that enough. You could actually make the object that's being thought of come out into the real world.
So what are some of the things that was manifested through this?
I remember a can of beer. In fact, that's how the time aspect came out. It was Duncan concentrated on the can of beer, and it appeared later on Pruitt's desk.
Oh, so he thought about it, and you guys said, oh, it didn't work, but then you saw it later and realized it
Right.
worked, and it went through time travel.
Was like at 11 o'clock, and all of a sudden at 3 o'clock, there was a can of beer on Pruitt's desk, which was holy, holy moly.
Was it like you could pop it open and drink it?
I didn't. I know somebody did.
But you could.
Yeah, you could.
Oh, wow. And drink it. Somebody could drink that from the thought it manifested.
I was more concerned, was it going to poison me? And I didn't like beer anyway.
Well, there you go.
Damn beer.
What was the worst thing that this chair did? And what was the best thing that this chair did?
Well, I guess the thought translation is probably the best. But also, we had people in the chair when we were experimenting with the time aspect that actually was sucked through the equipment from the chair and lost. So I guess that could be the worst thing.
Whoa, whoa. Okay, you're getting ahead of me here. So we're in the chair, and the chair manifests thoughts and it makes them reality, but there's also time travel with it too.
Yeah. If the person in the chair had the capability of time travel within his mind, the equipment could do it.
Oh, I got you. I got you. So it
You gotta
matters who is in
remember.
the chair.
You gotta remember, the Montauk machine is basically an amplifier for patterns within the mind. It didn't do anything else. Pick the patterns out of the mind, put it on a pulse type transmitter, put the matrix onto the pulse, the thought matrix, and it went out the transmitter.
I gotcha.
And the
So it
stuff that
really.
was underground was huge.
Now, right, that's what, like Christopher was talking about that too. So it was all underground. Every day you went to work underground.
My office was in the radar tower. But yeah, I did go on the ground quite often.
How often were the boys brought in?
Far as I know, they were brought in every day. That's the impression I got.
And this happened all across the country.
That's what we've been told. That's what we found out. I've gone around doing lecturing all around the country, and I would talk of this in the lectures, and after the lectures, guys would come to me and say, "Am I a Montauk boy?" And I found them from all over the country, all over the world.
Did the boy?
Not quite the same signature as Montauk,
Oh.
but we believe there was programming centers all around the country, maybe all around the world. We really don't know for sure. All I can tell you is one hell of a lot of them out there.
So we all have different signatures, is that correct? We don't, they were looking for one signature to mind control everyone, but they found out it was only
That's right.
individuals. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. They couldn't find that universal signature.
Do you think there is one?
I don't think so, because of the different races of man. Each individual race of man would have a different signature based upon the dynamics of the mind structure due to the different race. And
Would the boys be put into the chair, or is that somebody different? It seems like if they have an incredible amount of abilities, they'd be the better person to be in that chair, I would think.
sometimes the boys were in the chair.
So if the mission was, okay, we're going to send you to Mars or the moon, you go on that chair and you visualize it and you go.
if you can visualize it complete enough to form a connection between the two locations.
What if you visualize it enough to get there? How about getting back?
You have to visualize that, the person in the chair. You have to visualize the means to get back.
So you better be darn good to make sure you get back.
Yeah. That's what scared me.
I could imagine. So I remember you talking about Stargates. Is that a part of this?
No, I think that's a separate program.
Was it tunnels that people would go in? I remember Al talking about it as well. Where is that part of the time travel?
We think it is possible for the Stargate instrument itself to time travel. You would have to add many more degrees of freedom to the program function to do it. But that was some sort of a very ancient transportation device between Stargate systems.
Okay, so it had nothing to do with this.
No. In fact, if you've seen the Stargate movie in the series, that's pretty close to the truth. Although I'm not too sure if the parasites in people's heads are real in that.
Mm.
The instrument itself, I've seen it, and it looks darn close.
You've seen it. Did you work on it?
I worked on it as much as translating the musical signal.
Hmm. Did you go through it?
No, I've never been through the Stargate.
Oh, okay. Did you see
when
people?
I went through the Montauk Time Tunnel. That was the scariest thing I've ever done.
Okay, I guess that's what I'm thinking. So tell me about that.
Well, the time travel aspect uses what we call in physics the dual tip-to-tip light cone method of connecting time A to time B, time space A, time space B. When you enter the open end of a cone, a conical vortex, you go down, you're shrunk, until essentially you die. It's death. Then you pass through tip to tip, and then you're expanding back up to physicality. Like rebirth, if you call it rebirth. But you're not coming out of a womb for the rebirth part. That was the most scary thing I've ever done.
Wow. So what did that feel like?
I was dying and then being recreated again. Very painful.
Where did you come out on the other side?
Long Island, about 20 years earlier. No, 20 years in the future.
What did that look like?
Well, they sent me to the 19... That big forest fires in the Pine Barrens at the end of Long Island where the particle accelerator blew up. I can't remember the actual time. It was before 95. It was before I had that big accident. I think it was 95, early 95. And I had the big accident as a warning in late 95. You know, where they pour chicken blood on my map of Long Island Atlas over the Pine Barrens as a warning.
Oh. What was the warning?
Stay away from the Pine Barrens. See, at that time, Long Island UFO Network, John Ford and myself, we were investigating the Pine Barrens. Because a number of happenings took place out in the Pine Barrens, including possibly a UFO crashing, or it was a plane that had a nuclear device on it that crashed in the and the neutron generator detonated.
Oh.
It actually changed the polarity of the magnetic field on the fence posts. It was supposed to be north on the top, south on the bottom, but it put south on the top. And, you know, people's homes in the area, they had EMP damage. There was no question as to what it was.
You have been around all sorts of things.
Mm-hmm.
Did...
I don't know if you remember the John Ford business on Long Island where they accused him of conspiring to put radium in the head of the Republican Party's toothpaste, you know, the radium killer.
Mm-mm.
Was all tied into that.
Wow. Do you think you were in some way predestined for this stuff, or maybe because of the stuff you did through the time travel? Yeah, well, I mean, I think I even remember, I think you were pretty sick as a child, and then you instantly were not.
Abduction, it was all cured.
You were abducted at like 17?
Yeah.
And overnight, you no longer had cerebral palsy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the cerebral palsy disappeared, and the heart murmur disappeared.
And you weren't supposed to live past 23 or 24?
But the doctor told my mother, most likely you'd be somewhere around the mid-20s. You know, like 25 possibly. And I'm 68 and I'm very much alive yet.
You are. And you're a great character too. I love your sense of humor and the genius combined. I really like that. So I gotta ask some things before we get into more of your things of today. Back on Montauk, I want to ask about one of the things is Junior. Can you tell people about Junior?
Well, as we could tell, it was a abominable snowman, a Yeti type creature.
And how tall was this? I've heard 30 foot, and I've heard 9 foot.
I guess it depends upon how much brown squishy stuff you had in your pants.
Set you up for that one. So did you see this?
Oh, yeah, I saw it.
So tell me.
I have a tape called Montauk Tour where you'll see a picture of it walking up a hill on the tape.
I saw that picture. It looks like it's 30 foot tall.
It might very well be.
What did you see it as? I don't know how much brown squishy stuff you had in there, but what did you see?
I thought it was about 10 foot tall.
So it looked like a Bigfoot. So that manifested from the chair. How did all that happen?
Well, to stop the project, we had Duncan, when the saying, the time is now, when he heard that, when he was in the chair in trance, he would bring one of these critters out of his subconscious or superconscious, whatever you want to call it.
And
it
so
appeared on the base and was doing its worst.
That's at the very end where you wanted to just crash everything because it was gone too far. Wow.
Going too negative, in our opinion.
Well, I guess that would be the way to do it. Bring in a monster to take it down. I love the way you think. So we're talking with Preston B. Nichols here on Coast to Coast AM. We're talking about what he did at Montauk, and we're going to be talking, too, as well, about what he's been doing lately. And we will be taking phone calls, too. So stick around and hear some amazing, fascinating stories. With myself, Connie Willis, happy Valentine's Day on Coast to Coast AM.